Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. It was several weeks ago that we were in chapter 3. The title of that message was God Wants You to Build. So how's the building progress going in your life? There were in chapter 3, there's a large list of names and groups of people who each had a part in rebuilding the broken walls of Jerusalem. And it took an organized effort for the people to accomplish that job of rebuilding. Everybody had their own responsibility in each section of the wall. Those who finished their work would find out who were still working and go and help others. And the application was made that if we're going to accomplish anything that God has for a purpose for our church and for our lives, we need to get involved and start building. The effort is worth it. Everyone is needed. Well, in chapter 4, we find out that there's going to be some opposition that these builders faced. The title of tonight's message, Overcoming Opposition. There are many truths that we can learn and applications that we can make for our own lives and our own walled building projects. So when you get involved in the Lord's work of rebuilding, whether it's a problem that you're dealing with, a project that you're doing for the Lord, a class that you're teaching, Satan is going to fight against what God's doing. And Satan's tactics of warfare have been around for a long time. He hasn't changed a lot. He opposes any activity that God wants to accomplish in our service for Christ. And so we can learn from the way that Nehemiah and the children of Israel were battling the enemies around them, how we can overcome opposition. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Apostle Paul warns us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. That's an interesting original language word, devices. It means his plans, his thoughts, his designs, his purposes. Satan has been scheming. And he has designs, and so don't be ignorant of those devices. So tonight, let's learn from the way Nehemiah fought against his enemies and take away some strategies that will help us stand against satanic opposition in our spiritual battles that we face. The opposition that we'll see begins with ridicule, just words, and then they escalate to anger. And then physical threats to the people who are building the walls. And so all through this, we'll see an escalation, but all through it, we'll also see how Nehemiah dealt with that opposition and trusted God. First of all, the opposition of ridicule. These would be words that are used in verses 1 through 3 of Nehemiah chapter 4. And isn't it amazing how a word can either discourage you or encourage you? We talked about this last Sunday in our Sunday school class. It was the topic, especially from the book of Proverbs. And the verse that we looked at was Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Also Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. We also looked over at James. James has a lot to say about the tongue in chapter 3. In verse 6, he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So these are words that are being used by Satan to discourage the building project. We've all felt the sting of someone's words. I can imagine that you can remember something that someone said to you that was hard to take. They ring in our ears for hours. We repeat them to our wives. We go over them in our minds. Sometimes we can hear those same words after days of being uttered, and sometimes they haunt us all through life. Whether they're thoughtless or unintentional, or they're intentional words, they can hurt, they can discourage, and Satan and his demons know that. And he'll nudge someone to say something that you, at that time, will be tremendously, you're the most vulnerable. And those words can pierce your hearts like a dagger. So let's see how Nehemiah won the battle when his enemies tried to discourage the people with attacks of ridicule. Now, 1 to 3, I mentioned that already. We're there now, Nehemiah chapter 4. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish, which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Well, look at the individuals who were opposed to having this wall rebuilt. We have two men mentioned, Sanballat, he's the governor of Samaria, and he felt threatened because this was a city that was being rebuilt just south of him. And then we have Tobiah, the Ammonite, and it says he was by him. He was there to help Sanballat in his work against the wall building project. Listen to the emotional outcry against the building. They ridicule, this ridicule was driven by hostility. It says they were angry. The word wroth there means something that these were heated thoughts. A flame was kindled. And as that flame grew, it started burning out of control. It escalated. And it will be described as having great indignation. Very angry, filled with rage. The word mocked means that literally to speak unintelligibly, as if imitating another language. I think of children when they mock one another. They don't need words. They just say, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, and the tears come. Satan knows that in our lives too. So the word mocked means to deride, to laugh at, to stammer. It's not the words really that matter, it's the in-your-face sarcasm that you sense. Anytime you're accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish, there will be opposition. You can count on that. If Satan isn't upset with you, maybe something's wrong. Maybe you need to take inventory of your spiritual progress. I love the story that's told about the great preacher John Wesley. He was riding along on his horse one day, and he realized, it's been 3 days since anybody persecuted me in any way. Not a single brick had been thrown in his direction. He had not been hit by an egg. So he stopped his horse and got out and got off the horse and kneeled down on one knee. And he cried out loud, could it be that I'm backslidden or that I've sinned? Slipping down from his horse, he was praying to the Lord to show him if anything is wrong with him spiritually. Well, it just happened that a man who disliked Wesley immensely saw him kneeling in prayer, so he picked up a brick and threw it at him, barely missing the preacher. When Wesley saw the brick fly by his head, he said, thank you, Lord. I know I still have your presence. Well, let's take a look at the words that they used to ridicule the work. And as we do, note the sarcasm in the questions. What do these feeble Jews? Here, they stoop to name-calling, attacking their nationality. The next question, will they fortify themselves? Here, they're demeaning their ability. They're not able to do this task. Will they sacrifice? That's when they start laughing at the religious practices that God had established for Israel. The temple was already complete, and they were already obeying God's instructions in sacrificial offerings. The next statement, the question, will they make an end in a day? Pointing out that this task is unachievable. You won't get it done. And will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Again, the task is insurmountable. Nothing is more discouraging than someone coming up to you when you're in a task and they say, you know, you're never going to finish that. It's too big. Look at the mess that you're in. It's impossible. You'll never be able to accomplish anything for God. And Satan wants to use that kind of language to discourage you from doing what God wants you to do. Tobiah, notice, joined in with a comment. The stone wall could be broken down by a fox. The opposition of ridicule. What's the best response to the ridicule? This is our second point. if you're taking an outline, the best response to ridicule? The answer, in short, is to keep praying and to keep building. Or you might say, keep praying, keep working. Let's look at verses 4 through 6. Nehemiah is praying. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. In other words, let some predator attack them. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now this is what is known as an imprecatory prayer, a prayer of imprecation. It is a prayer asking God to send down judgment on his enemies. Hear, for we're despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head. Give them for a prey, let someone else capture them. Cover their iniquity and don't let their sin be blotted out. In other words, don't forgive them because they provoked you, thee, to anger before the builders. Notice it's important here in this prayer of imprecation, and we'll say, is it okay today to pray imprecatory prayers or not? And I'll let you decide that. But if you do say, I think it's okay to pray that God will judge his enemies, make sure that you see, as Nehemiah recognizes, the sin was against God, not against Nehemiah. Notice it says, for they have provoked thee. And then before the builders, in the presence of the ones who are working on the wall, if you don't stop them, others are going to be effective. And sin needs to be punished. Now some say, and you'll read this in commentaries, that imprecatory prayers have no place in the age of grace. We're to love our enemies. We shouldn't pray God's judgment on them. Others pray for God to punish sin. And we say, do it now, and don't let it get away. Robert Sheffy was a circuit-riding Methodist evangelist who lived from 1820 to 1902. He preached in the Blue Ridge Mountain area of Southwest Virginia. When I was in school, way back in the dark ages, they had film, 1977. Bob Jones University released a full-length film about his life, known as Sheffy. He was known for his eccentricities and his power in prayer. In the book, the story is told of a man's son who was bitten by a rattlesnake. He saw Sheffy pass by and knew his reputation for powerful and effective prayer. And he asked Sheffy to pray that his son would live. Sheffy didn't recognize the man or his family. And so he asked them if any of them, father, mother, or children, had ever called upon the name of the Lord. The father hung his head and said, no, I guess not. There's three boys, Ma and me. Now was when they recognized that they needed God's help. And this was really the first time they'd ever called on God for help. As the family stood by, Preacher Sheffy knelt on his sheepskin beside the boy and prayed. These are the words he prayed. O Lord, please bring thy healing to this young man. And Lord, we thank thee for snakes and pray that there be many of them. It's because of a snake that this family calls upon thy holy name today. One of the sons has been bitten and they called upon thee. Now, Lord, except for the snake, they would perhaps never in their lifetime have turned to thee. What a blessing this lowly crawling thing has been. Lord, I want you to send lots of snakes. Send another one to bite the youngest boy here. And still another to bite this woman who never had her boys kneel by her chair that they might hear the prayers of their mother. And Lord, above all things, send a great big rattler, a really large one, to bite the old man so that he may call upon thy name fervently and much. That was Sheffy, okay? Maybe you can't pray like that, but he did. Well, let me say this about imprecatory prayers again, that if you're going to pray God's judgment on sin, make sure it's on the sins that are committed against him and not against you. Notice that Nehemiah prayed, but he also worked. Some people say, just pray. Nehemiah prayed and continued to work. Both are vital, pray and work. I believe the order here is of importance. Some people work hard but never ask God for help. Our labors for our efforts in the Lord's work are all in vain unless God is at work. And we need to spend time on our knees praying to Him. Go to Him first. When people ridicule your efforts, when discouragement comes, when tongues say that send you into a hopeless despair, pray. Then get to work for God. They reached the halfway mark. Verse 6 says, the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Here's a crucial time. Whatever you do, don't stop building now. Athletic competitions or contests are often won or lost in the last minutes of a game. Now's the time to rally if you're behind. Now's the time to maintain the lead if you're ahead. But don't sit back and relax. Push on all the way to the finish. They reached the halfway point together, it says. The workers were all at the same place of progress. What was the reason for success? You'll see it at the end of verse 6. And the success that they had is the same success that you'll have if you do the same thing. What does it say? The people had a mind to work. Are you willing to work for the Lord? Are you doing anything for Him now? Pray. The opposition is great. Don't quit. Have a mind to work. Our third point, the opposition of personal danger. And here is the physical attack. Yes, there were words that were spoken. There was ridicule that was thrown at them. But now their lives are going to be in danger. The enemy is now more formidable, verses 7 and 8. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Well, who is coming against them? We have not only Sanballat and Tobiah, but now the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites. Why were they being stirred up against the Israelites? They heard the wall was going up, that the breaches were being repaired. And what was their attitude? It says they were very wroth. Remember back in verse 1, Sanballat was wroth. Now all the enemies are very wroth. That was the inflamed burning that gets out of control. They're very wroth. Their actions? They combined forces. They conspired together to come, to fight, and to hinder. And then we see this wonderful word at the beginning of verse 9, nevertheless. And there are two responses in this verse to personal threats that are being made on their lives. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So we prayed. We saw this before. Whether it's ridicule or whether it's a physical attack, warfare, the defense against the opposition is always the start to pray. Trust God. Ask Him for help. That's where we must go first. Then it says, we set a watch against them. Notice this watch was continuous, day and night. Don't think, well, I'll just set the watch during the daytime and everybody be asleep at night. I don't have to worry. No, day and night. Satan's going to attack when you least expect it. And then because of the threat, they set a watch against them. It was continuous. It was cautious because of the threat. Now notice when we get to verse 10, we see that fatigue was noted from within the walls. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Verse 10, and Judah said. Notice in verse 11, if you look ahead, and our adversaries said. There were fears from words that were spoken within, and there were fears of the fighting that was taking place without. Our adversary said this, even people next to me on this building project are saying this. What do they say? The strength of the burden bearers is decayed. That word carries the idea of tottering. Their legs were so weak that they were stumbling and they were falling. And you look around and you say, I don't know how we're going to continue. I'm just tired. I can't do this. The fatigue was noted from within. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. The adversaries, they're talking about sneak attacks, and they're talking about deadly force, killing them. Our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So they're going to infiltrate, they're going to kill them, and that will stop the building. Verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. And these reports, first of all, were life-threatening, talking about killing the workers. That's how angry God's enemies will get when you're doing God's work. Now, you might not face it in that physical, literal sense, but that's the attitude that they will have. They hate God that much. These reports about the enemy were continuous. It says, they said unto us 10 times. That is, the reports of their intent to kill them just kept coming. They wouldn't stop. All places where you will return. What are they saying at the end of that verse? There isn't any place that's safe for you to try to run. Adversaries. So what do? They set the defense in verse 13. Therefore, said I, in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Here, the guards were set at the low places and the high places, both on that wall. The people were defending their own families. The weapons of defense that they had, swords, spears, and bows. And notice that possessive pronoun, there. These were weapons that each of them had as their own. In verse 14, Nehemiah assured them of God's protection. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, unto the rulers, unto the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. The rulers and the nobles needed to hear this as well as the rest of the people. They were all under attack. What did he say? Be not ye afraid of them. How many times does God tell us that in his word? Fear not. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I will fight for you. Be not afraid of them. And then he says, remember, the Lord is great and terrible. We need to just stop and remember what God has done in the past. Not only for us, but for others. Look at all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Look at church history. Look at your own life. Remember, the Lord is great. He is an awesome God. And then fight for your family members and for your homes. This is a serious attack, but Nehemiah assured them of God's protection. An interesting note here in verse 15, the enemies heard that they had intelligence. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. The enemies heard that the Israelites were aware of their attacks. And every time they were ready to attack, the Israelites were prepared to defend. The enemies credited that battle information leak to Jehovah, to God. Isn't that amazing? They knew it was God who brought their counsel to naught. And the people returned to the work. Notice it says, all of us. No one quit. They all got back to work as a group. Everyone unto his work. Every individual. No one neglected his own part of the wall. It's wonderful to know that God will vindicate his cause. He's the one who brings the plans of his enemies to naught, to nothing. So don't let intimidation, even if it is physical, keep you from accomplishing what God wants you to build. Last point, in verses 16 through 20, their response to the threat. This is their response to the threat of physical danger. They have a strategic defense plan in verses 16 through 18. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded every one of them of his own hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. He that sounded the trumpet was by me. So what do we see in this passage? Half of them would be working, half of them would be defending. The weapons listed are that we have offensive and defensive weapons here. The offensive were spears, the shields were defensive, and then we go back to an offensive weapon, the bows, and then another defensive weapon, the habergeons. Those are the breastplate, the armor, the coat of mail. These were called habergeons. Well, notice also those working still had weapons. They had swords on their sides, even the ones who were building the wall. Now, Charles Spurgeon published a monthly magazine in his lifetime called The Sword and the Trowel. The subtitle was A Record of Combat with Sin and of Labor for the Lord. And this periodical would go out. It ran from 1865 to 1892. Spurgeon took the imagery from Nehemiah chapter 4, the trowel representing the work on the wall, the work for Christ, the sword representing the battle that we're in. A lot of times we think, well, I'll let someone else do the fighting. We are to protect what God is building. Think of the faith of new converts. We don't want Satan to tear their walls down. Think about the truth of the scriptures. We're here to defend the faith. Think about the heritage of godliness. We are to protect what God is building. Notice, trumpeters were stationed to sound alarms so that there would be a united defense against that offensive attack, the place of attack. Well, we have recognition of God's enablement in verses 19 and 20. And I said unto the nobles, this is Nehemiah, and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, that is, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Nehemiah gave a realistic report to everyone, the rulers, the nobles, the rest of the people. No one excluded from the information. This is what you're to do. The work was great and large. This is a huge undertaking to build a wall. And when God calls you to task, you might look back and say, I don't know, you might have the wrong person to do this. The work is great. Let's be realistic about it. We are separated from each other. And then he reassured them of their plan. When you hear the trumpet, assist those who are under attack. And don't you love the way verse 20 ends? He assured them again of God's help. It ends, our God shall fight for us. This is encouragement. God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? They worked and they guarded from dawn until dusk, verses 21 through 23. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. Here's an interesting closing. So neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. They stayed ready all night. They didn't change their clothes. And just so every boy reading this doesn't get the idea that he can do the same, and just so our own curiosity is satisfied, Nehemiah adds that phrase, saving that everyone put them off for washing. What dedication to this building. They weren't intimidated by ridicule and by sarcasm. They weren't paralyzed by the fear of physical danger. How serious are you about building your wall? Do you realize that Satan is out to discourage you? He'll use what others say to weaken your resistance. He'll make you so sensitive to criticism that you won't be thinking anymore about working. Do you realize Satan is out to destroy you? He'll attack you when you're not ready. He'll attack your family and your home. He'll try to distract you from the work God has for you. He doesn't want to see you making any spiritual progress in your life. Are you confident that God will fight for you? We must be watchful. We must balance our defense with our labors. We can't stand watching for the enemy's attacks and neglect to move forward with wall building. We can't expect to build without any opposition from the enemy. It's going to come. We must stand with sword to defend and with trowel to build. Determine now to pray, to work, and to trust in the protection of our Almighty God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of Scripture, on a historical account that must have left these Israelites wondering if they should be building this project at all. And I pray that we will learn from them and how they faced opposition so that we will strengthen our hands for the work and realize that there is victory through Christ who fights for us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.